Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Elise Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Full Sam Kerr.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Good morning, everyone. It is Liam and Michael here on Monday Sports Desk. You know, after that lovely introduction, by Getz Seeler before. Absolutely beautiful.
What a massive week in sport.
After the controversy with the AFLW, nothing changed.
The whole week
was the same. We couldn't tell the new rule.
Not at all.
North Melbourne brought out a hideous new jersey.
Disgusting.
But then, you know, it is North Melbourne.
And they got Ben Brown to market it as well. And he's not exactly a shoo-in model.
I'm someone who likes the political messaging. Ben Brown, right?
Next to
an article about Tasmania. Where is Ben Brown from?
Tasmania.
What team is the most likely to relocate to Tasmania? North Melbourne. Like, subliminal messaging right there.
Oh, I like it.
Let's kick things off right away.
That
was terrible. Right away with AFLW on Friday night. The GWS Giants got defeated by the Carlton Blues 139 to 312-30. And amazingly, this is how a GWS team actually plays a Friday night game in Sydney.
It's incredible.
Unbelievable.
It's incredible.
The men's team's made two prelim finals in a row. No Friday night game in Sydney. A team who's won one game in their entire existence plays a Friday night game in Sydney.
They started the end of the year off pretty well last time around, but they managed to score one goal in this game, which was very, very exciting as well.
First goal, in the first minute of the game.
The first minute of the game, and since then they didn't look back. And when I say didn't look back, they didn't look forward either with their scoring, but I think this game will be absolutely remembered for probably all the wrong reasons with Carlton's inspirational skipper, Bree Davey, who actually played very, very well prior to this game and also prior to this injury in the game. She was playing exceptionally well, the inspirational skipper at Carlton.
She's a real keeper, and if you know anything about that, she was a keeper for Melbourne Victory.
There you go.
Beautiful pun that was.
Absolutely. I like it. She's a real keeper. Unfortunately, we may be the last we see of her for the season. She ruptured her ACL. So she is unfortunately
gone for the year.
And she'll miss the rest of the 18 season. And unfortunately, she wasn't the only one with a bit of injury concerns in the game. Taylor Harris, of course, the brand new fresh recruit from the Lions. She had a bit of a shoulder injury, literally at the final siren as well. So
that bone-crunching tackle.
It was a big tackle, but the problem was it was such a wet night for football. That's why they don't play Friday nights in GWS, Liam, if you're wondering.
Well, the game, half of it.
Drummoyne Oval.
Quarter time went for half an hour because there were thunderstorms.
Yeah, they were off the ground. I do remember another game that GWS were playing during one of the regular seasons.
Yes, against Sydney, yes.
And actually went off the ground. I think they ended up winning that game.
Moral of the story, no AFL in Sydney.
No AFL in Sydney. I think I'm happy with that. Are you happy with that, Liam?
Who cares about Sydney?
No, who cares about Sydney?
They're not Melbourne.
Wrong place to market two AFL teams to. So they came back onto the ground. Drummoyne Oval. I think we should change the name to Drownmoyne. I think the name needs to be more fitting. It needs to be more correct with the way proceedings went on the weekend. But they do believe that Harris will be okay for the next game, which is positive news.
Judging by her Instagram, which is Papa Sauce here.
Oh yeah.
She looked fine playing golf.
She's her own physio. She's got control over her own body. She knows exactly what she's doing. Does not have to worry about that. No,
well,
but Carlton
she played
got
most
the
of the season last year with a bum shoulder. But unfortunately for Carlton, with Lionel now not playing, so I think Sarah Hosking will most likely captain Carlton. Depends if they Arnell likely comes back into the side.
Very true.
But very interesting. Carlton now moves on top of the ladder. Believe it or not,
on top of the ladder.
But we'll probably get into this a bit later as well. But the season's probably over, you'll probably say.
Well, I mean, Sarah Hoskin, and we will get to the votes later. Yes. She was absolutely outstanding. She features in mine. She may feature in yours. Little spoiler alert there for all of our AFLW fans out there. But she could well captain. But would it be fitting if her sister also was the vice captain potentially? Or you get both of them
vice
captains?
Well, she could just be nice and be like, hey, you can come and captain for the game.
You can come and captain with me. That's all right.
Because I
know,
the best thing about being identical twins is someone who's...
sisterly love, you know. Yeah. I think that's pretty important.
Someone who's engaged to an identical twin, sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. So,
very hard to tell apart.
You know who when they slap you in the face when you try to kiss them.
That's
pretty
right.
Much how you know.
I'm assuming you've been there before, Liam, by the sounds of it.
Oh.
Very, very very specific example there. But anyway, we must move on.
To the next game.
Now to your team on the weekend.
We got Melbourne first.
Yes. Melbourne was first. They were first.
Yes, and
I just wanted to get straight to your team. I thought they were sensational. Here we go. Here it is.
The intensity and now Melbourne with a bit of a
chance. Oh, I know what this is.
Out to Newman. Her first touch today, and we know she loves to run and bounce. She takes on Radan, two bounces, three bounces.
Oh, my God.
She go all the way on the outside.
She got it! No way!
Goal of the year! Boy, oh boy, well we.
Eddie Betts, eat your heart out.
Buddy, eat your heart out. Cyril, eat your heart out. That is goal of the year. We've had a shadow of a doubt.
See you later. For a minute there, because I mentioned Fremantle, I thought you were about to play the Fremantle theme song at the end of the game, in the historic game, but we won't get to that at the moment. Newman.
Oh.
Hello, Newman. Wow.
That was a fantastic goal. Everyone with a functioning brain probably thought that goal was fantastic, right?
Yeah.
There was one dimwit on Twitter who said, if they didn't play like under 11s, that goal would never happen. And everyone's entitled to their opinion.
That's fair enough.
But that guy's an absolute muppet.
What a muppet.
Sit down, shut up. He's probably single, probably has no kids. Go back and complain on another forum, mate. You're an absolute idiot. But let's get to the game.
Melbourne
are premiership favourites by a bloody mile.
What a large margin right now.
8-8-56 defeated the reigning premiers, might
reigning
I add.
Reigning premiers.
4-0-24.
So, I mean, very, very efficient going up forward. Except they didn't go up forward too often. And I mean, 8 goals in a AFLW game is quite
equals second highest score.
Yes. There you go. And look, it was all of Melbourne's pristine skills on display this weekend at Casey Fields. They were absolutely phenomenal in the way they went about it. And, of course, Adelaide, Erin Phillipless at the moment, which seems to be the big talking point out of this. The Crows, of course, went down by 32 points. And considering they're 0-2 now, it's going to be very, very hard for them to defend that premiership title. Erin Phillips is expected to come back next week, which is going to be important for them. But in the meantime, the Dees were led superbly with their star-studded midfield. Of course, Karen Paxman, Elise O'Dea, Liren Mitten, and of course, Daisy Pierce, the all-impotent, abundant, amazing led skipper. All of those players that I just mentioned registered at least 15 disposals as the Crow on-ball brigade just couldn't quite get in touch with those champions.
And you have my main one, Cranston, kicking another goal up top with the leading goal kicker. The question is, Erin Phillips might play, but with Tex Perkins.
She's been very quiet.
The 4 touches in the first 2 games. No goals. Nowhere to be seen.
I mean, obviously, it's quite hard to miss her on the field, but, you know, because she's quite influential in what she's able to do. She is one of those players who was absolutely inspirational last season in the Crows' inaugural season. But unfortunately, she hasn't quite been able to find her touch. But in all fairness, she has been held by, you know, 2 very good defensive efforts in the last 2 weeks. So it has been very hard for her, or probably any player in that regard, to probably, you know, find their influence in the game. So, hopefully she'll be for the better next week. But, she has been kept pretty quiet, so they've obviously got a measure on her.
Yes, and I think everyone has a measure on Adelaide. There's the reason why no one voted them to win the premiership, where the AFL coaches. And what about this for a stat, right? 41,975 attended Optus Stadium on Saturday night to watch the women
41,000. Almost 42,000 people at Perth Stadium, which actually breaks an 89-year-old record for women's footy.
Yes, 41,010 in the match at Adelaide Oval in 1929.
That's right. No standalone match of women's Aussie rules has been attended by more people. So this was a groundbreaking performance.
Hopefully ground didn't break.
Hopefully.
They have to sell more of those $12 fish burgers, you know?
I was going to say, hopefully it wasn't wallet breaking on the weekend. No. But no, this was incredible.
It was. And congratulations to Emma King kicking the first goal in that beautiful stadium for Collingwood.
Incredible. In fact, Collingwood had the run quite early, didn't
they?
The
first two goals.
They looked very good.
People talk about Fife, people talk about Neil. But last year's best and fairest, Dana Hooker, absolutely stole the show. She may or may not feature very highly in my votes. No. Definitely three votes, but she may or may not. It's to be determined.
Ah, difficult. Difficult.
Oh, she was fantastic, though. You can't deny how.
No, no,
20
no,
touches,
you can't deny it.
Two snags, if you don't mind.
Two sausage rolls. Seemed to be the best kind of catering on the ground at the time with her sausage roll efforts. No, she was outstanding. And must be said, though, Collingwood kind of just dropped off after they kicked those first two goals. And really, after that, was all Fremantle.
They were really hopeless, weren't they?
They were really hopeless.
The worst bit of irony, right? Just before they had the ads, you know, typical AFL ads, Kellogg's came on and Moa Hope is part of
really?
So you had Moa Hope in her Collingwood jersey in this ad right before she didn't play against Fremantle.
I'm sure they had that in the schedule, you know, let's get some Kellogg's into those young girls as they're, you know, watching the game. And it's just like, that's probably all she's going to feature on the TV tonight, which is pretty sad.
Yeah, it was.
Very sad.
It was a beautiful stadium.
Stadium's amazing.
It looks really
it's
nice.
Incredible.
Yes. Can't wait to watch Frio lose more games there. It's going to be beautiful to watch.
Well, at least just for the men's side. Just for the
men's
side.
Yeah, the women's one.
Women's side, any kind of women competition, they have not lost a game there yet at the Optus Stadium.
Yes, the Scorchers women won and...
Now the women's in the AFLW have won. So yet to lose a match there, Liam.
But
whereas the men yet to win one.
So not looking good for West Coast and the Dockers there.
That's right.
Let's jump to Sunday and... Oh, so we'll go for the score. 3-1, 6-4, 42, 4-3, 27. Easy as you like. 3-0 win their second ever AFLW game.
Congratulations to them.
Talking about 3-0 winning their second ever AFLW game on Sunday... Brisbane lost their first regular season game.
Can you believe it? I had to clean my eyes a bit, and I had to have a look and went, wait a minute, WB? That's Western Bulldogs. They've won. They did very well on the weekend,
the
of course.
The drought, it's over. All over for the first time in a year.
And I mean, did we just see the preview to the grand final potentially, Liam? Or are you still feeling Melbourne are going to be there at the very, very crunch?
Oh, I am absolutely feeling up Melbourne like you have no idea.
Absolutely. Like, no idea. You've been converted.
Oh, I am. Melbourne, I think we saw the two grand finalists, Melbourne and Bulldogs. But I'm not going to write out the Brizzy Lions just yet.
Not the Brizzy Lions.
Like, they came back against the wind kicking the...
They did.
I think they're bad kicking the last quarter. I think they kicked 3 points in a row.
They did.
But they came back in the last quarter to only lose by the 9 points.
That's right.
And it was... So I'm not going to count out the Lions at all.
No.
But I think it is down now to Melbourne, Doggies and Fremantle. I mean, Brisbane.
It really will be, I think. Yes. But the Doggies really showed just how potent they can be.
And about Ashmore, that's another team. About Brennan and Blackburn having a pivotal role. Do you know who did have a great role? Isabel Hutchinson. This is all in 5 minutes right here.
Yep.
Christened as the best play...
Sheila, the number one draft pick.
As the best play Sheila has ever seen, ever. Oh. Kicked two sausage rolls and then does the ACL all in 5 minutes.
It's incredible. She kicked two goals on the trot, and just as we thought she was about to take the game by the scruff of the neck, went for the ball. It was a pretty low ball, and it looked pretty innocuous at the time, but as she bent down, her left knee buckled under her in, you know, a rather, as I said, innocuous incident in the second term against Brisbane. It's just been confirmed that she has ruptured her ACL. similar to her injury in 2016, which is in a round one game. So she managed to get one more round out of herself, which is just terrible. But she's also joins the bench of such stars like Daria Bannister and, of course, Brianna Davey as well, who got injured on Friday night. So it's look, it's pretty sad. Hopefully she's not out for the whole season, but because the season's so short, it looks like that's going to be the case.
Me and Caleb will probably talk about this more in depth on Wednesday, but I got a feeling maybe the reason why they got so many, especially knee injuries, is their stadiums aren't, I'll say, professional stadiums, really. Like, you know, you got the MCG gets watered every day, gets looked after every day. The fields, both Brianna Davey and Hutchinson did the ACLs, were not. They get looked after once a month.
Well, I mean, they're local grounds. They're not, you know, proper, you know, stadiums that are being as well maintained as probably what they should be. Probably not as much sport played there as what, you know, some of the other grounds would have. Certainly nowhere near the amount of care that those local grounds have. Yes. And, you know, a lot of amateur competition played on those local grounds. You know, probably a lot of dogs and cats and, you know, pets fertilising the ground prior to a game. So you'd probably want to change those boots over at least three times a game. But even some comments about the Optus Stadium as well, the surface being quite hard there. So
that's a new stadium, that's probably why.
But new stadium, as you can suspect as well, of course, Friday night was really, really wet. So you can imagine a lot of injuries to happen there. Also, we must remember that, you know, in more of a biological way, women are more prone to ACL injuries because of the way the female hips are aligned. So that
and
injury is probably...
Shakira said, hips don't lie.
Hips don't lie, man. Hips don't lie. And, you know, that's the thing. Unfortunately, because of that structure, we have seen that ACL injury probably far too many times in the competition so far.
I've got two interesting stats.
You are the statistician man on the show. You are the stat man.
Yes. GWS equaled their lowest score of 139, which they scored against Brisbane last season.
Great score.
And this one I found interesting because it wasn't spoken about, but Melissa Crawford from Fremantle, who wore number 24 last season, has moved to number 29, which, as you know, was worn by the great man Pavlich, which is still on the bench for the men's, out of respect. And last year was benched for the women's as well. No one wore 29.
Ooh.
So she's the first docker to wear number 29, the famous number 29, since the great man himself. Before we go to a song, let's get to the goal kicking. You got Phoebe McWilliams, Rochelle Cranston, and Jessie Rochester, both on four. With Rochester kicking two goals, Cranston and Williams kicking one. And then you have Brennan, Cunningham, Scott, and Lavelle all on three goals.
And can I get a Darcy Vessio check, Liam?
She's
kicked one snag. She missed about three in
one
quarter.
One goal three.
So, yeah, not looking as prolific as she was in her heyday last season.
She's still in the same league as Tony Lockett, so can't argue with those stats.
There's only one Tony Lockett and there's only one goal kick for her on the weekend. So following that trend.
But is it much better? There's already more goal kickers this season than there were at all last season. Having three players, you know, like we said last year, DeVessio led the entire goal-kicking season. Having people up and down is much better. We're going to go to a song. This is Born to Run here on...
No. Just before we get to a song, Liam, you said Born to Run, right?
Yes.
Born to Run. Now, of course, Newman, Born to Run.
Oh, it's dedicated
now, I'm just wondering, does she get a bonus goal because of that?
Like, yes.
If you kick it on the run, Buddy Franklin-style goal... Surely you get some bonus points.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Absolutely. Well, you know, she was born to run, Newman.
Yes, here on the Sports on Sin 90.7. That was Born to Run by the Casanovas here on Sin 90.7. And that's a favourite of mine from AFL Live 2006.
2006.
A game that was full of bugs.
Oh, that full of absolute glitches.
So let's get to the best part of this, the show, AFLW votes. And as of last week, our leader is Ali Blackburn on 5. And then Katie Brennan on 4, plus another one I have to make an apology about.
Yep.
Sabrina Frederick-Truel.
This is well called for, this one.
I gave her the Ben Simmons treatment and absolutely snubbed her of a vote last week. When you break the record of marks by a couple of marks, you should at least get a vote, but I'm kind of
considerable.
So you should at least be with Brennan or above Brennan.
That's right.
Apologies. They got Molloy and Daisy Pearce to round them out.
Yeah, and she shall redeem herself, Sabrina Fedrick-Traub. She's already mentioned, well, not directly, but she certainly wants to take out the secondary title here on the sports desk.
Well,
she also
she did say, is Liam blind, deaf, and stupid? I played an absolute blinder, and he didn't pick me.
Incredible. She's coming for you, Liam.
Is it because I'm from WA and I don't play for Fremantle? I mean,
potentially. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or maybe because she's English and I'm Irish and it's just a...
So
I do apologise if she's
historical,
out there.
It's a historical feud, unfortunately.
So, Michael's first.
My votes. Are we going 1-2-3 or 3-2-1?
I go 1-2-3.
1-2-3. My one vote goes to a lady who played extremely well on the weekend from Melbourne. Karen Paxman gets my one vote. She could have gotten more. I could have given her more, but 21 disposals, including 14 kicks, which is a mammoth amount of kicking, particularly for the AFLW if you look through the statistics. She made a brilliant return with her ability to read the play and find the ball in the close contest. Now, look, I would have given her more votes, but she had plenty of support in the midfield as well with... her and three other players also racking up above 15 disposals. So she wasn't alone in her efforts, but she certainly played very well. Caught my eye. She gets the one vote. Liam.
Oh, you want me to do my one vote now? Or
yeah,
do
let's
like that?
Do your one
that
vote.
That is so cute.
I reckon. Come on.
My one vote goes to Bianca Jacobson from the Demons.
From the Demons.
Solid in defense. Pretty much great. Every time Adelaide went... back, absolutely nothing, really.
Absolutely nothing.
Only had 13 touches, a lazy 13.
Lazy 13 for a defender, if you don't mind.
Whew. But. 7 marks and all in defence. And set up 3 scores.
Incredible.
And played forward at Carlton, came across now as a defender, and it's solid in Melbourne's defence. But
incredible.
Melbourne is pretty much a solid team at the moment.
Oh, they're looking unbreakable at this current stage of the season. And she played extremely well and also kept Tex Perkins, who wasn't spotted that much on the ground on the weekend. So, no, she did an extremely good job. My two votes.
Two votes.
Here we go. My two votes. I could only give two to her, unfortunately, because her team played very, very well on the weekend despite all of their injuries. She did stand up. She played very well. But what must be noted, Liam, an AFLW record. Now, not too many AFLW records are broken. Of course, Sabrina Fedrick-Traub had to give her the 3 votes last week because of her absolutely outstanding AFLW record breaking 10 marks. But an AFLW record, 16 tackles in one game.
No.
It can't be true.
Did I miss something massive here?
Sarah Hosking gets my 2 votes for 16 tackles. Facing a tough contested midfield battle, the vice-captain produced the goods when needed the most, eclipsing the previous best 14
Ebony
from
Marinoff.
Adelaide's Ebony Marinoff, of course,
yes.
Last season in the inaugural season. But 16 tackles, it says it all, just how hard she was going at the footy all night, never backed down, and her defensive pressure was pivotal to the Blues' victory against the Giants.
Possibly now has the ability to captain the Blues this season.
Potentially.
A star could be born.
A star could well and truly be born.
I can't argue that. She's my 2 votes.
Oh, brilliant.
There is someone who I think... She was my 3 votes.
Ah.
Uh-huh. All of Friday.
Uh-huh.
Half a Saturday until one certain game.
Uh-huh.
But yes, definitely the 16 tackles. You break your record. Your team's injury prone. Mm. In the wet condition. So, you know, very Sydney-like her pressure was.
Exactly.
With the tackling. And you can't argue with the fact that, definitely deserves the 2. Maybe not the 3.
Maybe not the 3.
In my opinion, there was someone better. I'm guessing, in your opinion, someone was better.
Someone was better this round. She led her team to a very rare victory because this team isn't prone to winning too often. Certainly not taking out silverware in either of the men's or the women's competition.
Wow.
No offence to you.
GWS didn't win.
It must be another team.
Yeah, another team.
Surely not another side. Oh.
Gold Coast is in the league.
Gold Coast? I didn't know that. Oh, it looks like Fremantle Dockers. How about that?
Wait, Fremantle didn't win a premiership.
You don't have silverware.
Sure?
You don't have silverware. You didn't ever win a NAB Cup, did you? Or anything like that?
No.
No silverware.
Wow.
Maybe Claremont? potentially. I don't know. Maybe your lower leagues might have. But
Peel's gone back to back.
No, Fremantle won their inaugural match, of course, on the weekend at the new Optus Stadium. But they needed an inspirational leader to stand up and really stamp their authority, put themselves on maybe some form of leadership board at the ground or some kind of honorary board. I don't know if there's one being drawn up. There should be, because she gets our free votes for the week. Of course, it's Dana Hooker!
Yes! Dana Hooker.
Dana Hooker.
Without any injections, Dana Hooker.
Get stuffed. Come on. Are they related? I mean, if it's Kale Hooker's daughter, then she probably would have carried that trait as well. But anyway, let's not get into genetics here.
Dana
We're a sports show, not a science show. Particularly not a sports science show, all right?
Oh, God. Beautiful cheap jab there.
Yeah, it was a very cheap jab.
Five clearances, 14 contested disposals.
If you don't mind.
Two goals, brought for you in the game. Colin was leading in the front. Yes, Dana Hooker also gets my three votes, which means...
She's scary.
We don't know science, but I think we know maths. 3 plus 3, so. I think equals six. And it depends what Caleb votes on Wednesday. Dan Hooker has jumped past Ali Blackburn in the league as of right now.
Now, wait a minute. You gave her one or two votes last week.
Ali Blackburn.
Dana Hooker.
Dana Hooker got zero.
Zero. So she leads the votes?
Yeah, now she does. Yeah, she got six.
She got six?
That's how intense this Sydney AFLW Player of the Year Award
is. It is. It's going to come down
right
to the wire.
It's like the Golden Fist. You know, one vote equals like five Brownlow votes.
That's incredible.
Is that prestigious?
Just like that. No, she was the worthy recipient of this award today. And we hope that she continues to perform very, very well at the new Optus Stadium, because right now... there is a bit of a rumour going around that it could be named Hooker Stadium, potentially.
Let's hope that's not the name.
Maybe not.
No. They'll have the rocked up clientele there. I think we need Ben back.
I think we need Ben back.
Yes.
Some kind of form of discipline. Yes. Oh, very good. Now, we got across to the A-League. Of course, the A-League, we're talking about record-breaking moments. We're talking about teams who are just scintillating, sizzling at the moment.
The Sydney FC League.
It really is, isn't it? No one's getting close to Sydney FC right now, and they are chasing their own record from last season. Of course, after they bet Melbourne City on the weekend 4-0, they open up a 12-point lead on the top of the table. And now they're talking about trying to catch their 66-point score, so their ultimate goal score tally of the season, which is the greatest in history in an Australian football league. So they're chasing 67. So that's what they're trying to get. They're trying to get 67 points. There's still 21 points to play for them. They're on 49 points so far, so it's incredible how well they're scoring. They even want to get to 70. Don't worry about 67. Let's round it up to the nearest. Let's get to 70. And they believe they can. And it would require the Sky Blues to win 6 of their remaining 7 games.
You just said, they're going to do it.
All scores are pretty clear looking forward, and I think they'll be able to grab that record pretty
comfortably. And I think they will, because of one man, Bobo. Yes.
Bobo.
After kicking 2 on the weekend, he's now 3 goals away from Bruno Farmioli's 23-goal record from the 2015-2016 season. With 7 games remaining, like, he can take a light and he'll probably ace the record as easy as you like.
The blue skies are the limit. They do not look like slowing down.
They are the true Sky Blue team. Melbourne City can go back to their red and white.
Talking
about Melbourne City and Sydney FC, they're about to play next week in another game.
Oh yeah.
In the W League now. After Sydney FC got over Newcastle Jets 3-2, Melbourne City defeated the champions, the minor premiers, Brisbane Roar, 2-0. Interesting record here. Melbourne City are going for a three-peat. They're going to do a Hawthorn.
They're going to do it.
A Brisbane Lions.
They're going to do it.
A Collingwood, but they went 3 grand final losses in a row, but completely different.
Melbourne of the 1920s, potentially.
Yes. They went 2015-16, 2016-17, and now looking to go this year. But wait, there's more.
Here we go.
They are both on 2 championships. Sydney FC won in 2009 and 2012, 2013. So both of them are on two. They're going to go.
Blah.
One of them is going to be three. One of them is going to be on top. One of them is going to be the best women's league team in A-League history. Oof. I have, actually, as a Melbourne Victory supporter, I actually don't like either of these teams. So hopefully it's a draw, and then it's a draw on the penalty shootouts, and they play for the rest of the time. But it's good to see a three-peat. And talking about three-peat, a team actually in an unknown sport for us here, despite it being an Australian team, has competed a three-peat, and that is the Brisbane Bandits in the ABL, Australian Baseball League, defeated the Canberra Cavaliers 4-2 to do a three-peat.
Sorry, the Canberra what? Cavaliers?
Yep. Great
are
name,
they,
mate.
Are they trying to copy the Cavs? The Cavaliers?
Probably.
Yeah.
I know, they've got the Sydney Blue Sox as well.
The Tony Abbott Budgie Smugglers is still a sporting name that hasn't been taken yet, so I'm very, very surprised.
But yes, so Brisbane Bandits have done a three-peat, the first ABL team to do it.
Congratulations to them.
They're behind Perth, who has four championship wins, and the Canberra Cavaliers have also rounded up the other win. So congratulations to them.
Congratulations. Shout out to them if they're listening.
Yeah, they're probably like, oh, can't wait for Sin. I think baseball doesn't get enough love on this channel.
I don't think it does. I really don't think it does.
But yeah, so
Bill Murray would be very disappointed in us.
Good luck to the Melbourne Victory. Oh, sorry, Melbourne City Women's trying to do a three-peat. All the Sydney. I changed my mind.
Right.
Sydney FC is going to win the men's. I think the City at least can win the women's.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney FC won the Australian Cup thing. So maybe, yeah, just for a bit. Go away. I'm going to head off to a song, and we're going to come back the Winter Olympics. And there's no better way than the greatest Korean song to ever hit Western soils. We all know it. We all know the dance. We're going to do the dance during the break.
Are we playing it?
Oh,
We're doing it.
Out. This is Gangnam Style by Psy here on the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7.
Welcome back to the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7 FM. Of course, you're joined here on a Monday morning by Michael and Liam. Of course,
yourself first.
We are getting in a wintry mood right here on the Sports Desk.
And I haven't had winter in like 12, in over 12 months. I'm long overdue for winter.
You're well and truly overdue, of course, taking that back. That was Gangnam Style by the great man
Psy.
I used to say PSY, but apparently it's Psy. Apparently it's Psy. That's how you say it. And of course, why are we playing such a great, great tune to cap off the Winter Olympics? Of course, where the talk of the town is Korea.
Yes.
Because it is, of course, Pyeongchang, which is where it's been held in Korea. Korea have fittingly on one gold medal, which is incredible. And it must be said that the Republic of Korea can thank their supporters for that one gold medal. They've been outstanding. They have been absolutely outstanding. Yes. And the reason why I say this, Liam, is, of course, 200 North Korean cheer squad leaders came by. And all eyes have been on the two united North and South parts of Korea. It's the first time a Kim dynasty member was to visit since the 1950-53 Korean War. It's quite amazing. Despite losing in their match of ice hockey to Switzerland, 8-0, the cheerleaders performed a variety of songs, clapping and holding masks in unison. They even started a North Korean Mexican wave, as the group leaders paced up. That would have really pissed off Donald Trump.
I'm going to do some controversy, actually.
Yes.
Because in the 2014 World Cup, which North Korea was a part of, their cheer squad was made up of paid Chinese actors.
Oh.
Yes. So, are they North Korean? That is the million-dollar question.
I do wonder.
The fact that they are unified in this games, I would say hopefully so.
Hopefully so. I mean, we could only hope.
Mm.
But it is very, very entertaining. And they have been, you know, a country under so much scrutiny, you know, because of their quite rampant leader.
Because of their button, they have the biggest button. No, we have the biggest button. Our button is massive. And
their button is
I can touch it with my small hands.
It's quite huge. It's quite huge. But no, the current tally as the medals stand, Liam, Germany currently lead the medals with 3 gold and 1 bronze with a total of 4. But the Netherlands and Norway are looking like the two countries that are really going to come after Germany.
Oh, Norway. Norway, mate.
8 gold medals altogether. I mean, you would expect that from a nation that has so much snow and practically a 4-season winter, which is, if that's possible, it certainly is today. They've got 8 medals, 3 bronze, 4 silver and 1 gold. And the Netherlands, 2 gold, 2 silver and 1 bronze. So they are the 3 leading countries. But the States, they will probably catch up at some stage. They're on 1 gold and 1 silver.
According to the great man Guinness Committee, this is the best Australian lineup. This lineup is delicious. It's marvellous.
It's marvellous, is it?
Oh, yes. And that's what he said in the promo, is that we are looking to get gold. And gold in Australia, especially in the Winter Games, do not come along very often.
They do not.
In 2014, we got zilch.
We got absolutely zilch. That's correct.
2012, we got 1.
That's good.
And there's one I want to talk about, and probably the most underrated. Like, people talk about Simmons getting snubbed of the All-Stars.
Yep,
talk about Shannon Noll getting snubbed of the All-Australian. But everyone remember Steve Bradbury.
Oh, Steve.
Gold medal win. The first ever Australian win in the Winter Olympics. But Elisa Camplin won gold 2 days later. And I say this is probably the biggest robbery of all time, Steve Bradbury was dead last and won out of a fluke. Well, Elisa Camplin...
It's not easy to keep your feet on the ice, Liam.
Elisa Camplin easily won in her freestyle skiing. Should be known as Australia's first gold medalist. Get all the praise that Bradbury got. But at the end of the day, Bradbury is Australia's first ever gold
greatest
medalist.
Ever. And greatest ever.
Yes.
But it could well be capped off in this Winter Olympics. But a number of Australians did compete on day 2 with some solid results and unfortunately a bit of sad news. But the big excitement came at the women's moguls.
Who loves the moguls?
Yes. We love the moguls. We love the moguls on the sports desk.
Jakara Anthony and Brittany Cox.
Brittany Cox.
Finishing
big
fourth.
Cox.
Finishing fourth and fifth. If you don't mind.
Outstanding. They got so close to snubbing a medal. And it was a great result to even get those placings within the top 10.
Because Australia's not known as a moguls country.
I don't think we are. I don't think we're generally known for it. No. Maybe for Vegemite and kangaroos, but certainly not for moguls.
No.
But they did very, very well in their super final heat, but they unfortunately missed out on the medals. Australia's snowboarder Tess Cody became the second member of the team to miss a qualification when she injured herself in her first practice run ahead of the women's slope style, which was unfortunate. And as we were speaking about before, the ACL injuries, quite huge in women's sport. Of course, there was another one here as well, which was quite sad. It does rule her out of the game. She did have another heat coming up later on in the game. So unfortunately, she does miss out there. But a little bit of positive news, of course, in the cross-country skiing, Callum Watson competed in the men's 15-kilometre by 15 skiathlon. The 28-year-old from Jindabyne in New South Wales, we love Jindabyne here on the sports desk, finished 58th in 1 hour and 25 minutes and 15.4 seconds. The result was one place better than he achieved at Sochi 4 years ago, so be happy with that. But all in all...
See, on Sim, we care about the little wins.
The little wins. Even if you get one place higher the year after, even if, say, for example, you finish last on the ladder and
Andy Jung, who did not advance, finished fifth in semifinals in short track speed skating, that's not good enough.
That's not good enough,
obviously. Pull your head in, mate. You are a joke to the country.
No. Absolute disgrace.
How dare you spend pretty much your entire life for this event?
Deportation.
No.
It's obviously the games are always quite Intense. Hotly contested, even though it is in the ice. They need the ice to cool them down. But I got to do a quick shout out to one of my favourite countries in the world, Kazakhstan. They've managed to walk away with a bronze medal, which I am very, very happy about. Kazakhstan does get quite cold during the winter, but Kazakhstan always tend to take away some form of medal. Even if it's the bronze medal. They still did very, very well in their event. So, shout out to Kazakhstan. Well done to you.
You know who no shout out for? I was making a joke about junk.
No shout out, right.
A country that prides himself on winter sports.
Right, yes.
Our Canadians, eh? Oh, they've been absolute atrocious. Only 3 silvers and 1 bronze, eh?
Not the best. They should be
at the top.
Well, even Finland and Austria and even Sweden, Sweden and Finland only managing to claim a couple of medals, not good enough.
They got gold. Canada, who prides themselves on being cold all the time, has not got gold. Canada, mate, you are a joke. Stop apologising to people and win some games here.
Win some games, win some golds, you know. Step it up a little bit. You've got to be better than that.
Yes.
You're clearly frustrated here.
The Canadians got to pull their head in.
They got to pull their head in. You know why
Americans got a gold and not Canada? Because Americans don't apologise.
Americans don't apologise for anything.
Yes.
Goddamn.
So come on, Canada, pull your head in.
Pull your head in. We're gonna crack onto a song now, Liam. Before we get absolutely outrageous with some of our medal tallies.
Don't get me started on Finland.
Finland.
Italy. I don't think there's any. Italy's got a bronze, actually. It's very surprising.
But you see, unfortunately, in Winter Olympic sports, if you fake trip, you don't get a free kick. So Italy won't be winning too much gold on that kind of tactic.
You mean the World Cup that they didn't qualify for this year? Oh, that one. Yeah, cool.
Doing well, Italy. Doing well.
Shout out to all the Italians.
Shout out to
Italy. So pretty much everyone that goes to Carlton.
Yeah, I think we're not going to get a coffee from Lygon Street today, Liam.
No. This is Holy Grail by the Hunters and Collectors. Something Canada does not know here on Sport Test on CN 90.7.
Welcome back to the Sports Desk on SYN 90.7. Of course, you are joined by the illustrious hosts being Liam O'Grady and, of course, my good self, Michael. And we have had an absolutely outstanding show today. It has been
wonderful.
It has been wonderful. We have enjoyed ourselves here today, Liam. We have enjoyed ourselves.
That's the main thing. We had fun.
We've had fun, and the most important thing is as well, we've given some strong criticism to the winter nations of the world, and hopefully they will perform better in the Olympics and whatever is left of them with the next upcoming kind of events that will be there. Just before we get to our wrap-up of the cricket, the final game in Australia was played on the weekend for the Australian summer, of course, going off to South Africa very, very soon, and of course, Shield being played. We stumbled over a little super list of names for Supercoach, and Maxie Gawn, of course, the man, the myth, the hipster, he's priced at $503,000 for Supercoach.
He was priced at $503,000 before it was cool.
If you're a big fan of Maxie Gawn, premium ruckman, bargain price, bargain for a ruckman, usually he'd be well and truly into the 6,000s, maybe even the 6,500s. And another player, a little bit of a smoky, Paddy Cripps. Already a superstar and a super coach beast, despite the injury interrupted season. He's priced at $530,000, so very, very cheap for his lofty standards as well. But Gary Ablett, of course, he's priced at quite a high $631,000. But who knows what we can expect from him this season? But
there are some injuries, probably.
There's some absolutely smoking Joe names. But the number one I want to talk about is going to be Jakey Stringer. He's priced at $356,000. He's placed as a forward. And there is a couple of little whispers from the Essendon Football Club from the Tullamarine Stadium. And whispers aren't easy to listen to, particularly up at Tullamarine.
Especially if you have that terrible
With the plane zooming past. Yes. Now, he's the big boom recruit. He played outstandingly well from all reports in the intra-club game just recently. And he will be the prized possession up at the Essendon Football Club this season.
Yes, playing in the midfield. He is spoken. That's the whispers.
So look out for him. He will be a good player. Of course, we will continue to update you on Supercoach. And as you guys at home who do play Supercoach begin to put your teams together, we will continue to keep you updated here on the Sports Desk. But without any further ado, Liam, we've got to get to the cricket because there has been an incredible turn of events for one man.
Yes, instead of Nice Gary, the Nice Gary has become the Nice Waity.
Nice Waity!
Oh, Nice Waity, get up, my mate!
So, Jordan McArdle, who is a Twitter man, has written a little something about Matty Wade's last fortnight. So, man of the match 71 in the BBL semi final.
As you
a
do.
A diamond duck in the BBL final.
As you do.
A $6,000 fine for smashing a bat.
As you do.
A golden duck in the Sheffield Shield first innings versus Queensland.
As you do.
And then a 3-for-13 in the second innings after starting with the gloves.
As you do.
Does that seem like a typical fortnight to you?
Yeah, definitely.
As you do.
That's what I do. As you do.
As you do. As you do. Hashtag as you do.
I wake up, get a $6,000 fine for smashing a bat, score 71, get out for golden duck, score a FIFA, and have my gloves on all at the same time, all before breakfast.
I mean, isn't this incredible, you know? I remember, I think, we were playing Sri Lanka, and he said to Philip Hughes, God bless him, he said, Philip, I want you to stand behind the stumps, and I'm going to bowl a couple of pies. Yeah. And I think he was bowling a Kumar Sangakkara, and I think he was just pissing himself half the time, going, yeah, what the hell is this bloke doing? But Matty Wade can, in fact, bowl. I mean, they're medium-pace rubbish, but I tell you what, did the trick on the weekend, 3-for-13. Unfortunately, the Tasmanian Tigers couldn't get the job done, but he did.
Not a good week for Tassie.
But he did actually claim the wicket of Jimmy Pearson, who was going along very nicely on 61. Mitchell Swepson, who was on a duck. And then he trapped Benny Doggett, LBW, for 10. So 3-for-13 from just 3.4 overs. He's actually in the top five for Shield Freefers as far as being the most economical. So maybe Matty Wade might want to turn his attention to bowling.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe.
The final one in Australia, sort of the final T20 between Australia and England. Australia won. Did anyone watch it? Probably not.
Probably not. It was at the MCG, and it was the final game of the scheduled summer for the Australians. Of course, the Australians running out. Easy victors. They won the toss. They fielded again. Big Billy Stanlake, AJ Tye, Ashton Agar, all of those names there. And, of course, the game winner, Kaney Richardson. They all bowled absolutely outstanding. They've all combined for 13 games over this past T20 series. Who is watching it at the moment? If you were watching it, Glenn Maxwell scored with an outstanding 39 runs. He is the man in form right now. Darcy Short, a very nice cameo of 36. And Chris Lynn, 31 off about 18 deliveries. He was incredible.
And Davey Warner out for one, I think, too.
Davey Warner can't seem to score many runs.
He would not be able to hit a bowling ball at the moment.
He couldn't. He would struggle
Maxwell,
very difficult.
But Maxwell, for a guy who... not good enough to play for Australia. He's doing okay for Australia.
he's played very well for Australia.
Yeah, scored a century.
He's scored
a century in Hobart. Got a, what would you say, 60-odd here in Melbourne?
Look, he's been the talk of the town, and he has absolutely pulled the pants down of the selectors because he has been absolutely outstanding, of course, scoring a century off the final ball of the previous game and just casually, you know, strolled in 39, you know, save the game in the middle order. You know, he is the talk of the town right now. Of course, the Australians, with 33 balls to spare, ended up winning by 7 wickets. Liam, well done to the Australians.
Yes.
Haven't dropped a T20 game yet.
Yes, and we're now third in the world rankings. I think the highest have been in quite a while.
Woo.
But to wrap things up, big congratulations to our NBL team, Melbourne United.
Yes.
Who on the weekend defeated the New Zealand Breakers 100-82, meaning for the second time in 3 years, they have finished top seed.
Wow.
In the season. But this decade, in the 2010s, yep, only the New Zealand Breakers and the Perth Wildcats have won the championship.
Wildcats.
We have to go all the way back into the South Melbourne Dragons, who defeated the Melbourne Tigers, now
South
Melbourne United.
Dragons.
In 2009, a team who's now no longer in the NBL was the last team.
No longer exists.
That's not the Breakers or Perth Wildcats to win the championship. So could Melbourne United do it? Why the hell are they changed from Melbourne Tigers to Melbourne United? We'll find out next time here on Dragon Ball Z. This is a Sports Desk. I'll join you guys Wednesday.
It has been an absolute pleasure, Lee.
The man, Caleb. You will be back on Friday.
I'll be back on Friday discussing
with the non-man, with the female.
Previews. Of course, Neve and I will be kicking things off on Friday, as per usual. Will be an exciting show, previewing a big round three for the AFLW and of course, the rest of the fixture.
Bad news, me and you will not be together next Monday. I'm off. I'm not here.
What?
I'm in Townsville. Yes.
What?
I will give you my vote.
Since
but
when?
Since
where are you going?
Townsville.
Townsville?
Yes.
Oh, why would you go there?
I don't know, really.
Holiday?
No.
It's too cold in Melbourne.
I'm house-sitting. So.
You're house-sitting. Okay, yes. Fair enough. So the bungalow, very, very nice. That'll be a lot of fun. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Monday morning. Have a good rest of your day. Have a good rest of your week. Enjoy the rest of Sin's coverage. Of course, plenty more big shows coming up after this. And join us on the Sports Desk on Wednesday and Friday. And Liam, absolute pleasure again.
Yes, this is Sports Desk on Sin 90.7.